Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and a little bit of Dwight. He's in the north. So if you have a sunscreen and you see someone who is turning pink, that's most likely going to be him. So from here until the hour of six, as always, it's Home Run Time, your drive time show. I'm here with yet another exciting topic to keep you company for the meantime that you are trying to make your Friday plan. So, you know, if you if you have already, then in your preparation time, Home Run is here with is here to keep you company, and thank you for picking us over all the competition. And if I'm very educative or very exciting in terms of your thinking capacity, you're welcome. It's I literally get paid to do exactly that. So today is a Friday, so in the spirit of Friday, I decided to come here with one topic that is somewhat more story-ish, because I've come to learn that it's much easier for me to embrace the inherent entertainer of part of me than just playing a serious guy, which is something I've been told is something that I've been, something that I'm very terrible at. And I've been told that by my friends, colleagues, and significant others, plural. Don't judge me. Moving on. We have, one very interesting discussion today. And this takes me back to one video I came across on social media of one guy that was talking about how billionaires, I love politics. I just love the, how do I put this? I like watching fully grown men and women make kindergarten level mistakes. Yeah, so I love politics. So I found myself on the side of a social media platform where people were talking about how the economic atmosphere keeps the economic atmosphere is all headed in the same southern direction, like really fast, but mostly the atmosphere, because the political atmosphere is what a lot of people pay attention to, because the economic world is loaded with numbers and tables, and it's very convoluted or sophisticated or complicated or difficult to understand. But one thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand, that you don't understand it's complicated for a reason, right? It's not complicated by accident. It's complicated for a reason. It's complicated so that you become, so that you can just look at the bunch of information that you have to deal with and go like, I don't understand this. That was exactly the point, which is why one of the most difficult things to investigate is money missing. And for countries like Namibia, especially as of right now, we have a lot of, corruption cases going on left, right, and center. And one thing that, one excellent example that we can use right now is one of the Fisherot case that has been in pre-trial for it's headed for 6 years now, if this year comes to an end. It will hit a 6 year mark in pre-trial. So that means, it's very easy to allege that someone stole money, but investigating all the nitty-gritties in terms of technicalities that helps explain in layman terms, because there are a lot of us that are following these cases, they have to break it down sometimes, at least to the best of their abilities. Now, what that takes, trying to make sure that they explain it with a beyond reasonable doubt. That's, you hear that a lot. Beyond reasonable doubt. Whoever is making the claim that something did something wrong, has the burden of proof. It's a fancy way of saying, if you're going to claim that I stole something of yours, you will have to prove to the judge beyond reasonable doubt that I stole it. In other words, that's actually where our legal system becomes very, disadvantaging if you don't have proof. You saw me stole your thing, but the thing is, you can't prove it. the fact that you can't prove it is going to eat you inside out. That's where you have seen a bunch of people now resorting to mob justice after, you know, take for example, and this is very common in criminal law, you know, in criminal laws where you have someone's loved one's life has been taken, but they can't prove that the individual that stands accused of taking that person's life, you know, the loved ones just, they don't have that proof. And then at the end of the day, the said individual, aka the suspect, has to be let go. And before you start pointing fingers at them, that's not the judge's fault. It's, well, I know it sounds painful. I know. Believe me, I've sat through classes of this nonsense. It's kind of now for the judge to just make a ruling out of how I feel. Now the interesting thing is that's what's going on with Judge Sibutinde, I think if I'm pronouncing that name right, with that's at the International Criminal Court right now. She's using religion to make legal judgments, which everyone is going, how the heck did you even get that job? But the point is, the reason why it's very important to make sure that as a judge, you make that's the basics of being a judge. You make sure that every judgment that you make is based on the evidence presented, because if not, then you are going to open a can of worms, because that is going to, you know, now if a judge, for example, makes a ruling based on scratching their head, not based on the evidence presented, lawyers are going to have a field day, because what they're going to do is they will be citing that case every time they will run out of evidence to present. That, the judge in the case of so-so-so scratched his head and make the judgment because, well, the suspect here was just a, you know, not the suspect, pardon me. Not the suspect, sorry. The victim was crying. It could have been crocodile tears, but well, the judge, out of the pity of the humanity in him or her, my lord, made him make that judgment. And as we stand here, my lord, we are appealing to the same humanity within you, which is in all of us. He's gonna make it sound very understanding. No, he just got paid to say all of that. It's always important to sort of like understand that things to again, the system is not perfect. Believe me, as no one is perfect, which is why, you know, which is now the fact that no one or nothing is perfect. Science has a very brilliant sort of like a very excellent, at least from my point of view, way of putting that. There's something that you I think it's a high school, so a high school grade 11. Or 12 this time, you know, I think. The NSSCO, not the A-level type that is new. I'm from that generation. The NSSCO that I did in ordinary level science, which is what the O is for, ordinary level. Physical science, we were calculating at some part something known as efficiency. You are calculating how efficient a machine is. And you are now looking at this from the point of, the nature of energy, you know, that very commonly memorized, law of energy. It cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be converted from one form of energy to another. Now, when you look at it from from an efficiency standpoint, you'll find that any honest physicist or any honest expert in that field, aka physics, which I'm not then an expert in anything, is going to tell you that there is no machine that is 100% efficient. 100% efficiency is impossible. Take an engine, even the best performing engine is not 100% efficient. It's close to 100%, but it's not going to be 100% efficient, because the more the engine is going to be working, the more the fuel energy that you have put in there is going to, or more like the chemical energy is going to be wasted through noise and heat. That's a waste of energy, but commercial break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. We continue. 14 minutes left to the hour of five. So we continue. The more an engine is running, when you turn on any machine has a way of wasting energy. Like, the energy that's coming from your chemical, aka the fuel in your car, for example, your intention is to use all of it. To convert all of it to kinetic energy, which is a fancy way of saying movement. Because when you hop in your car, you want to show off how much noise it can make and how fast it can go. But, not all of it is converted into kinetic energy. Some of it is converted into the sound energy that you hear, and some of it is converted into heat energy because, well, try driving a car for an extended period of time and then putting your hand anywhere somewhere in the hood. Don't do that. Don't try that. Don't. Unless you don't like your fingers, then sure, go ahead. So the point now I'm trying to make with that very, long, like a Trans-Caprivi highway type example is that, there is no system that's 100% efficient. So every system that you are going to adopt is going to have its own pros and cons, is going to have its advantages and disadvantages. Now, which is why I fail to understand a bunch of people that run around debating between communism, socialism, and capitalism, which one is the best and which one is not. Well, each one of them has its pros and its cons. You can find advantages and disadvantages in everything. Well, how can you find, advantages in poison? Well, it works if you are using it for hunting, like our ancestors did for a very long time. The problem is when it ends up in your system, then, well, the disadvantages will be running, left, right, and center, and it will be, the disadvantages is that if the poison finds itself in the system, it will be organizing a meeting, the last meeting between you and the ancestors, God, Allah, take your pick. Now, moving on. So today's discussion is going to center more around advantages and advantages and disadvantages, pros and cons, because and this is going to be about money, finance. Now, not that I have a lot of it. So the question that is now, because of this very fundamental, more like interesting philosophy, more like interesting point of view of looking at things and pretty much every system, is that one of the interesting example that I like to look at, at when it comes to the pro and cons of pretty much everything around us, which is why if you are looking for Mr. or Miss Perfect, you're gonna die single. That's not a joke. I know it's funny, but if you are laughing, that's because it's very true. If you are waiting for Mr. Perfect and Miss Perfect to walk through the door, to walk through your door, you may as well just become a nun at this point, or a priest, because that's never happening. Moving on. So the dilemma, that's why, one of the things that I like to observe is that, the dilemma of, the dilemmas coming out of the personal security world is one of, if you hire, take for example, bodyguards to protect you from everyone that you feel like they are, from everyone that you feel like they could harm you anytime that they run into you. That is a very reasonable point of view. That's a very reasonable point of, action to take. The problem is, the question that has always arisen in that department is that, if you hire someone to protect you from harm, who is going to protect you from being harmed by that particular person or that group of particular people? Take, for example, if you have enough money to hire 100 bodyguards to protect, they'll be around you left, right, and center with their, very highly trained skills to protect you from anyone who could in any threatening way approach you. There's just one problem. If one of them gets bribed, if one of them gets blackmailed, if one of them gets threatened, take their loved one is in a hostage situation and they are told, unless you put a bullet in the head of the people, of the person you're protecting, your dearly loved one here, the one that is so dear to your heart, is gonna die. What's the bodyguard gonna do? Who is going to protect you from such a security threat? I'm not saying fire a bodyguard. All I'm saying is, the system itself is basically having that very giant flaw. So that's when then the faith comes in now. So the best you can do is hire a bunch of bodyguards and cross your fingers and hope none of them is compromised at some point, which is why you now have all these, checks and balances in, routine checks and balances that helps you confirm that they are all in their right state of mind to protect you. Now, I know I picked one of those examples that I can't afford. I can't afford bodyguards. For one, I don't need one. Who would want to pam me? Like, what for? Blackmail me? For what? Even if you decide to, to kidnap any of my relatives and ask for $1 million, it's not that I don't love my relatives. I just don't have the money. So, in other words, perhaps you should have checked my bank balance before, kidnapping my loved one. Yeah, at this point, it's either you have to let them go or go to jail for murder. So, is it really worthy? This is the question. Every time that I look at my bank account and see that it's all in its negatives, the way that I like to give myself, comforting assurances is that, well, at least my friends and my relatives are safe because no one is even going to think of kidnapping them with an attempt of extorting money out of me. See, there's advantages and disadvantages to everything. Now that we have laid the foundation of advantages and disadvantages to everything, it's worth understanding that the thought of, thoughts like that are more, associated with, people that are paranoid and skeptics. You have to admit it has some interesting rationale, or more like understand, interesting philosophical and psychological point of view. So, the end of winter, I think, if it's safe to put it that way, is showing me flames. Hence my just woke up voice. I woke up a long time ago. It's just this my bright side. This is my pro of having a cough. The con is that I get to feel like I'm coughing my lungs out. And pros and cons in everything. To try and understand not my cough, but the whole philosophical or psychological, or more like a natural, natural way of basically questioning things. So with regards to why is it important to understand the advantages and disadvantages of everything? I think that will help us understand like the main cause of today's discussion, which is you'll find this interesting that back in 2023, the Swiss, aka the citizens of Switzerland, because, the you know, started demanding to their government. This is, just look at the time frame, back in 2023. They started demanding to their government to, you know, to include in their constitution the constitutional protection of the use of cash, like money cash. Now, which can come off as somewhat like counterintuitive now, because we live in a technologically advancing world. Technology is, you know, is advancing by the minute, and everyone is transitioning mostly, especially the world over, as far as I was able to look. I could only find that bizarre example coming out of Switzerland. Now, what I even found to be more bizarre was that Switzerland is the financial capital of the world. Switzerland is the home of the Bank of International Bank of is the Bank of International Settlements. Now, the Bank of International Settlement is basically the central bank of all central banks, minus one that is in countries like one that was I think in Libya at some point. In North Korea, for example, I hardly doubt that, but I'm not sure. So, the mother of all central banks around the world, basically for the large part of the economic spectrum, that we have all across the planet, the Bank of International Settlement is headquartered in Basel, Switzerland. So, yet the citizens of this country came together. Now, there's something they call cantons, which is the equivalent, I believe, of what we have regions or constituencies here in Namibia. Now, at first I thought it was just something that was brought up by, it's something that was just brought up by some, by a bunch of guys in parliament. It turns out it has a lot of influence coming out of the people, because that's largely because of how the, the political system of Switzerland is set up. They practice something known as, direct democracy, which is where the people are involved in pretty much every single change that the people, that's taking place in parliament. The Swiss vote on everything, ECN, the chief executive and referenda officer, the head of ECN has that title, is because for a lot of countries across the planet, we believe that the only way to bring about change in this, to the central government, is to wait every 5 years, go to the polls and then vote, and then, if we end up with a wrong guy in office, we just have to endure the pain until the assuming that they don't change, or more like remove the term limit, and change pretty much every election laws in that 5 year tenure that they have, during the next election cycle, we're going to vote them out. Well, the Swiss decided to modify, to copy and modify elections. They decided to copy and modify it. Now, unlike those of people I won't mention who just decided to copy and paste and then started asking, hey, why are the things not changing? Well, you're supposed to change the structure of what you adopted. The foundation is what you're supposed to change. You can't just copy and paste everything and cross your fingers and hope things are going to change from the top there. No, it doesn't. Take construction, for example. You don't have to be a structural engineer to understand that the foundation is very important. You can renovate the wall and the roof. You can't renovate a foundation. You're going to have to bring the whole thing down. So you cannot afford to get the foundation wrong. Before we continue, let's take a commercial break. Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM.
It's time for the ShopRite Home and Appliances promotion. Upgrade your home and live in style with a wide range of products, like an Essentials 1.7 litre auto kettle for only $149.99 each, and a 24 litre Essentials mini oven for only $899.99 each. Don't miss out on these special deals and more. Offers valid until 7 September 2025. Only at ShopRite, the home of lower prices you can trust. Always.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back to a Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. I said the Dwight part is just stuck in my head at this point. It's what happens with a repetition, which is I'm told it's the best way to learn a foreign language. I repeat the same thing over and over again, so our minds tend to the more we repeat doing or saying something, the more it gets stuck in our heads. So that means if you repeat a lie one too many times, you begin to believe it. Even it begins to convince even you. Okay, that's scary. But anyway, welcome back to Home Run. We are 2 minutes into the hour of five, but before we continue, let's take a live read. This is a Velvicha live read. New short courses available. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Science Program. Certificate in Workplace Dispute Resolution. Admission requirements, grade 12 senior certificate or equivalent NQF level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in five subjects and a D symbol in English. Or grade 11 certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English plus 2 years relevant industry experience is required. The course costs $5,500. Application period is from 1 August to 31 August 2025. For more information, call 061-225-4633 or 061-225-462 or email admissions at wu.edu.na. Velvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. Moving on, 4 minutes past the hour of five, let's get back to our topic of me trying to understand why the country that hosts the mother of central banks would start saying, you know what, I think this whole transition from cash to cashless society is getting a little bit too scary. How about you have to understand that the Swiss here are not saying we don't want any of the transition. They are just saying that let's do the transition, but also at the same time, let's make sure that we have enough cash in circulation, just in case type of scenario that they are dealing with here. which I now decided. Now, after looking at that, I decided to scour the internet to try and look at, is there any country that is sort of like looking at this whole, transition into the cashless society? You know, the way that the Swiss are. I didn't come up with any. Not a single country, at least that I was able to come up with. If you came up with, you know, with one, thank you very much. And I'm sure if there are countries out there that are looking at this transition from a cash-full society, basically a cash way of doing business, of conducting commerce, into the cashless one where you are dealing with swipe or more like mobile, you know, mobile phone payment or any, everything electronic, EFT, blah, blah, blah. They're not a lot. Now, just a couple of days ago, if not a couple of, it can be a couple of weeks ago, because I think it was last week or the week, the week before that. The Namibian government, I think that was, Helmut and Dwight here on Homerun, we had the discussion where we were looking at, the Namibian government, especially the Ministry of Education, where they looked at Namibia's AI readiness. How ready are we to adopt AI? And one of the things that, that was pointed out was that, it's important for us to look at the atmosphere that we have and ask ourselves one question: how ready are we to adopt AI, aka artificial intelligence, not artificial insemination. That's the agricultural part of AI, artificial intelligence. And that's very important to me, because it lays the foundation. It makes us face the reality on the table. Like, okay, you know what? Do we have the capabilities? What do we have to do to adopt? How much of it do we have to adopt? And what do we have to, what legislations do we need? What infrastructures do we need? What research and development? What do we have to change in our education system to ensure that the adoption, the adoption goes in a very fluid type of way, to ensure that we don't end up, getting to the point where we are going, I don't think we thought this through type of way of looking at things. Now, because I found that fascinating, and when I looked up, like, okay, what are the pros and cons of, of a cashless society? Just a bunch of, I ran into a one-sided, a bunch of sources that were just pointing out the advantages, like, oh, for the love of God, can I just have a transparent point of view on this one? And then, one commercial bank, which is also operating here in Namibia, came in handy. I was like, oh, thank heavens. Now, even though the research that was made was based on what happened in, was based on a South African, economy. And we all know that when South Africa sneezes, Namibia says, but anyway, pardon me. So what happened? I was like, thank heavens, I have a source to use in my topic for today that's far more close to home. But before we get to that source, we are going to go to Switzerland, and then we can come here. So, starting with Switzerland, they have cantons. You can look at them as constituencies or regions. Now, because they vote a lot, and they vote mostly in a referendum. Take for example, what they do is, if the government wants to change a piece of legislation, the first thing they do is they send representatives. They send government representatives into different, into different regions or different constituencies to, first of all, have what we call stakeholder engagements here in Namibia. And what they do is those pretty much the same thing that we have standing committees do from the National Assembly and the National Council in Namibia. But instead of just going and, you know, to sort of like look at capital projects like we've seen and, you know, go on, you know, capital projects, like how are they doing ever since they were implemented in Namibia. And we've seen this both for projects all across the board. And if there is a grievances coming out of a certain region, for example, like we saw with the Dowries, quote unquote, quote unquote illegal lithium mining. The Standing Committees on Natural Resources said to go there and basically sit down and try to find out what is going on here. And they brought a report which Helmut and Dwight, for, as you know, that is just, that's bread and butter for us. We really love reports. So, standing committees, for example, if we were to change a piece of legislation, then the central government would dispatch, standing committees, all across the country, all across the country, so they can hold stakeholder engagements. And the specific reason behind that was to basically explain to the people on the ground that this is the piece of legislation that we have as of now. But the problem we have with, and the reason why we want it changed is because of this and this and this and this and this. Now, because we are running a direct democracy, a government of the people for the people by the people, we just don't want to make this change without first consulting you. Now, the first thing we're going to do is, we are going to explain to you what this piece of legislation is as we speak, and what the shortfalls of this piece of legislation are, and what we want to change it into. And then after that, once you understand the change that is coming your way, because it's going to impact you, whether I'm not into politics or not, that change is coming and it's going to impact you. Now, what they then do is that after a wave of explanations of what piece of legislation is the government is planning on changing, from what and to where, once the people have been explained satisfactory that all that changes, all the coming changes, then they hold elections, their constituents. And believe it or not, they are not using ballot, they are not using electronic voting machines. They are using ballot papers. This is one of the most expensive countries to live in. One of the most developed countries under the sun is basically the financial capital of planet Earth. They vote on all the referendums that I was able to come, a referenda. Oh dear Lord. The English nonsense. I was able to come across. They use ballot papers. I was like, huh? Why? Are these guys allergic to technology or something? But perhaps we should be asking ourselves, why are they doing that? Since no one is asking themselves that question, maybe because, no one have come across it, which would be very scary. And whether no one have come across it or no one wants to talk about it, it would be very scary. Both answers are just scary. So, now, the vote of the people is the one that the representatives will take, the standing committees, as we like to call them here, will take those votes to the central government and represent that, and they, count the ballots and then say, well, this is what the people have said. According to the people, the change is welcome. Oh yeah, go ahead, make the change. Or according to the people, screw the change. They don't want it. In other words, they don't want this piece of legislation to change. They feel like, according to their votes that they have casted, the advantages that this change is bringing is going to outweigh, the disadvantage this change is bringing is going to outweigh the advantages they already have from the old version of this legislation. Now, that's basically, in a nutshell, the Swiss government. That's basically Switzerland. They vote on everything. like everything, via referenda. Commercial break.
The best connections and moments are worth remembering, don't you think? Grab one of our great-tasting non-alcoholic drinks, Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, anytime, anywhere. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So, we were talking about how the Swiss are obsessed with voting over everything. Now, here's the thing. You have to understand that this country is one that has been, that have made headlines into the meme world for having a law that is enforceable by the police. How they do it is beyond me. Well, it turns out it's against the law for one to flush a toilet after 10 p.m. in Switzerland. I'm like, huh? That better be a joke, because if that is true, I don't think I can live in that country. Because what happens when you have the runs? What do you do? Because let's face it, you can't tell diarrhea to wait until the next day. That's not gonna end well. Well. If anything, what you're gonna need the next day is not the bathroom. You're gonna need new sheets. Okay, coming back to, welcome back, you know, rewind. Back to home run. Now. Moving on. So. Now, what happened was, back in 2023, the people reached out to their governments and they were like, no, we really appreciate the change, this whole transition into, a cashless society. But, we feel like it's happening, somewhat a little too fast. So how about we just, dial it down? And, now, to be fair, we hate the convenience and security assurances and basically security of our money that comes with the electronic world or technology, aka the electronic ways of doing finances or conducting business. But, we also want cash to be available. Now, I think that's totally understandable because what has been observed is that, the more a country adopts electronic payments or electronic payment systems, the more it abandons cash. And this is very true of our country, for example. Just earlier this year, a report coming out of our own central bank, indicated that, cash. Many Namibians are using electronic systems of conducting business more than there are Namibians that are using cash. Now, I'm not here to scare the Moses out of you. Mm-mm. I'm just looking at it from the, I'm just looking at the Swiss going like, you know what? We need a plan B. We don't want to wish that we had a plan B. We're going to carry out with this transition, but we just want also to have, just in case, things go south in terms of cybersecurity, for example, we're going to go through the pros and cons coming out of interesting research that was done by Nedbank based on South African economy back last year, where they looked at the pros and cons of a cashless society. And they will be with that in a few. This year, it was reported that Namibians spent $1.2 trillion worth of transactions or payments in electronic payments. That was just last year. In 1 year, trillions in electronic payments. In other words, cash is beginning to be an afterthought. And I do that all the time. I mean, I don't like large amounts of cash on me because, well, if I run into Tura Boys, all that money is gone. That's the secure part of the secure aspect of electronic, you know, of a cashless society. Because if you grab my wallet and run, the best thing you're going to find there is $5 or maybe 20, 50 bucks, maybe. You're going to find 50 bucks in there, but then that's it. Now, if we were dealing with cash on a day-to-day basis, and someone grabs your wallet that has $200 in it, almost like $2,000 on it, depending on how broke you are, $200 is a lot of money. You can have dinner in $200. I know where to go for that dinner. This is not new. If you look into the transition into a cashless society, what you're going to see that, the more people are adopting the cashless ways of conducting business, the more they are abandoning the cashful, or more like a cash way of doing it. And, the Swiss, the only very few, if not the only people that are going, We're gonna keep both. And because they basically understand how their government structures work, they decided that, you know what, saying it is not enough. What we're going to do is we are going to go to the central government. We are going to influence using the necessary, using the means and ways that's available to us as citizens. We are going to influence the central government to pass a law that gives, gives us the citizens the constitutional assurance that even though there will be this this technological advancement that's bringing along this cashlessness in our society, we are going to have cash in our. We don't know what other countries do, but we still want to deal with cash. And they'll be right, because was that last year or earlier this year when CrowdStrike, when CrowdStrike had a fever? Airports were grounded. Airplanes were grounded. You can't ground an airport. It's already on the ground. Most of air travel came to a standstill. That's what happens when you rely on one form of doing things. Because I think that's also should have given the aviation industry why monopoly is bad. It turns out, CrowdStrike, planes across the planet are operating on the mercy of CrowdStrike. So when they had a computer glitch, all airports that ran their system had to ground their planes. They just couldn't do anything. So that's one of those pros and cons, which is why I actually, that's one of those things that made me look at the Swiss and go like, that's interesting. That's interesting. So now the same thing can be seen. And this whole, transition from an internal combustion engine in a car, for example, to EVs. Everyone's like, yo, you know what, let's just transition. Okay. Right. So, you realize, there's this thing called EMP, Is it a electromagnetic force, electromagnetic pulse? Well, that is basically an easy way to pull off massive handbrakes on, depending on how strong your EMP is, on a million electric cars. That'd be very easy. Imagine the chaos in terms of traffic that you are going to cause if you have a powerful enough EMP and you're an evil genius and you just, you just like violence all the time and you don't like peace. Short answer, a lot. Because if a car, an EMP, if it's strong enough, is going to fry anything that has a chip, aka anything that has a computer chip, is going to go bye-bye. And unfortunately, we have people on this planet that will do anything for money. Now, even if they have to fry your city's electric grid for them to make that money, they're going to go ahead and do it. So I think this is where, I keep going, every time that I look at everything technology and how it's advancing, I keep going back to, to what the late executive director of NIMT liked to say last time I was, during my time at NIMT, that he really didn't like anyone using a calculator. His nickname for some of us was Back to the Basics. He's one of those people that liked to say that sometimes the problems that we are solving with the most sophisticated technological ways of doing things here can just quickly be solved using the good old traditional manual way of doing things. Now, I'm not being anti-technology. No, absolutely not. God knows I like my video games a lot. And today is Friday, so you can imagine how my evening looks like. So, the question that I'm just going to quickly throw here, and that I think it's important to look at, both on an individual citizen, individual ordinary citizen, and anyone who is in any position of power, economic or politically, is that anything that we're adopting, I think it's especially on the cashless adoption of technology, it's important I think to look at Switzerland and go like, why would they do that? It's not that, like, they don't have the money. They have the money to switch from full of cash to no cash just like that. But, well, not the Swiss. Like, thank you, but no, we're just gonna, thank you, but we'll take our time. Thank you. So, in 2023, in August of 2023, an article coming out of Swiss Info. You're welcome. News, democracy, they cover it all. Swiss Info put out an article that says Swiss government proposes constitutional protection for cash. A new draft was put to consultation in response to the popular initiative of Swiss Libertarian Movement, calling for consultation, for consultational guarantees, for constitutional, pardon me, constitutional guarantees on the use of cash. The initiative was called Yes to a Free and Independent Swiss Currency in the Form of Coins and Banknotes, aka Cash is Freedom. I know. So what happened was the Federal Council initially rejected the initiative in its review. Now the wording proposed by the authors of the text was not precise enough. However, the government recognizes the importance of the role played by currency in the economy and society. Now, cash One thing that we don't appreciate about cash is that it carries a national identity. The piece of paper, aka cash, that you have in your wallet has your heroes and your national motto.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Now, the same article coming out of 2023 pointed out during the second initiative was that the Swiss freedom movement recently launched a second initiative on the this is from 2023, which aims to ensure that people can pay in coins or banknotes in public service, particularly public transport or in retail outlets. The movement is concerned about the rampant digitization of society, which will soon prevent people from taking a train ticket, from taking a train ticket without a credit card or digital payment platform. Like Twin is one of the digital payment platforms that they use. It also launched an initiative against a compulsory vaccination. Oh, these guys were now just. I just don't like things that are compulsory, though. Not a huge fan. Because, those are the Swiss. Now, that was back in 2023. Fast forward to 2025. Yeah. Fast forward to June 11 of 2025, the same platform put up an article titled "Cash Will Be Guaranteed by the Swiss Constitution." And the article went on to say that the Swiss Senate followed the House of Representatives and unanimously approved the government's direct counter proposal for the popular initiative of the Swiss. Of the MLS, it's one of their political divisions they have ongoing on there. The constitution reads, the constitution will be amended accordingly. The yes to a free and independent Swiss currency in a form of coins and banknotes initiative basically received constitutional backing. What I found fascinating, though, was that the movement began to pick up momentum in 2023 and 2024 and June of 2025. The change was made. I was like, eh? In my country, boy, that will take 100 years. When it's proposed, the whole cabinet is on leave. The speaker is on holiday in Japan. No, the only person, from our public office, I'm like a central government that I know that who is outside the country, especially who is in Japan, is the Prime Minister Elian Gorare, who's attending TICAD in Japan. And we covered that yesterday, and they did cover a bunch of things. I think that will make an excellent topic for Monday. Yeah. And anyway, at this point, I'm asking myself one question, why would they come up with this? So that's basically the question that I asked myself. So I started looking for a source that is pointing to the pros and cons. You know, just more from a near, at least, at the very least, the near transparency in terms of comparison. You know, like they're just in the middle. They are not pushing one over the other. Now, like I pointed out earlier, a country's cash has the country's national identity. Well, let's just say the same cannot be said about electronic money. It's just numbers. It doesn't have any Hendrik Verboy anywhere. It doesn't have any Sam Nujoma anywhere. It doesn't have any, you know, any of the animals that are considered national pride anyway. It doesn't have any of the signature and all these things that, you know, points to points to what this country is about in terms of heritage, for example. That can be done with digital money. That I think it's a bright side in terms of national identity preservation that, all the idea of let's just go full electronic keeps forgetting. If you find a Namibian $10 note, for example, when you look at it, it's going to tell you by itself. You don't have to ask anyone. All you just have to know to do is all you need is understand the language. And in this world that we live right now, all you just have to do is take a picture of it, feed it, feed it in any browser that you have that allows you to search the internet about something using a picture, and it will bring you all the information about what it is. It has a it has a picture of someone who is well known, obviously, for a lot of good reasons. It has someone's name. It has someone, you know, it has a country's, you know, it has a country's name, country's pride and heritage on both sides. So, but take, for example, you have you can't do that with the zeros and ones. So it's just something that is worth knowing while we, while we're in this transition. It's important knowing. Very important. So now let's get into a South African example of, which is why I just came. I decided, you know what, I'm going to start from Switzerland, and then I'm going to come home as I conclude. Can South African business owners, according to the article, business owners and their customers benefit from a cashless society? The fact that this is coming from a central, it's coming from a commercial bank that also has has an app, and also, speed point payment capabilities. That's interesting. So, let's dive in. What is a cashless society? So, according to them, a cashless society does not use physical banknotes and coins. You store all your money electronically in your bank, account, and you make and receive payments using debit or credit card. Now, e-money transfers, cryptocurrencies, or online mobile payment services, like PayPal, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, Google Pay, and other electronic, EFTs in that. All these are electronic payments because you are not dealing with physical, with physical exchange of money for whatever service or product that you are purchasing. Now, which is very important because I have a bunch of subscriptions I have to, I have to pay for on a monthly basis, and I can't do this with cash. I need electronics. Believe me. Because of most of the services are coming out of either China, or the, Europe or the US. So, in that case, then everyone that has a Netflix account knows the importance of cashlessness. It's very important. Now, Then the article goes on to the pros and cons of going cashless for both businesses and customers. This is why I really appreciate these guys, what they did, because they did not only look at it from a business point of view, from a customer's point of view. They decided to approach it from both sides. What are the advantages for customers? What are the advantages for the businesses? And what are the disadvantages for the customers? And what are the disadvantages for the businesses? Now, one common advantages that for both customers and businesses is that cashless operations can help streamline payments for small businesses. In particular, they allow you to receive payments efficiently and reduce the time you spend handling the bank, the banking cash, and you never have to give you never have to worry about change. You never have to worry about change because, well, when you have cash, you need change. When you're swiping, you don't need change. You can ask for cash back, but change for what? Because the exact same amount that particular product or service cost is the one that's taken. That's it. Not more. Not less. So, it takes out the hurdle or the headache of you having to deal with cash as a business individual and also as a customer. Now, I think this, our taxi drivers should look into developing an app. The taxi drivers and bus association guys, you guys, need to develop an app that's just specifically for you so that we can just, tap and so we don't have to start yelling at each other in the morning. You can't be having this big money. I love Namibian English. You can't be having this big money. What am I supposed to do with $200 in the morning? Now, all these things can, it turns out we can get it out of the way if we just, go the direction of cashless. Now, the problem is if you hop in a cab, get to your destination, and then you realize that you're decliner. I think that's the that's the good part now. If you're decliner, you can just pull out a cash, a note in your hand, in your bag or in your pocket. Then problem solved. Which is why I totally understand the Swiss having both, using both, so that when one goes south, the other one comes in to save the day. So they also enhance, according to the article, your record keeping through simplified paperless data collection. If I want to find out what I spend, all the useless stuff that I spend all my money on, I can just log in my app and boy, there are all the damn things I spend all my money on. Now, imagine if I had to take notes all the time about what I'm buying. Boy, that would be a nightmare. So, you have this, the first one you have there is efficiency. The second one you have is added security. Cashless businesses do not keep any physical cash at hand. So if you show up at a shotgun, at the counter with a shotgun and say, if you show up at a shotgun with a counter, man, that would be heavy. But anyway, if you show up at the counter with a shotgun at a cashless store, you're going to jail. I mean, it's either you run out of there as fast as you can before the police arrive and, abort mission, or if you act dumb, you're going to go to jail because you are going to shoot that poor individual behind the counter and find yourself in legal soup. Legal hot soup. But that would be the least of your worry. You have to understand that when you take the life of a loved one, you risk your own life being taken. That's I find it interesting that in Africa we call it mob justice. At least that's the Namibian term I have found. It's because, well, I may be short and not very handsome, but there are people that depend on me for a smile. There are people that so love me to the moon and back. Don't ask me. A terrible choice. Check. But why? But I appreciate that. They love me and I appreciate that they tell me that from time to time. I'm telling me with an e-wallet wouldn't hurt. But anyway, you know, so let me give you a little bit of a deviation. Back when I was in high school in 2011 at, I think that was Divundu Combined School. Yeah, one of the schools at Divundu, but I think that was Divundu Combined School. I remember when I was in grade 11, a story came out of Divundu of just a young man who stabbed his girlfriend to be, I think she said no, with a screwdriver, and unfortunately she died on the spot. To be continued.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Ah, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added...
Not for sale to persons under the age of 18. And yes, please do enjoy responsibly. But that does not only mean enjoy and don't drink and drive. It also means that, but also enjoy and don't wake up, you know, in a best case scenario in someone's bed and not remembering what happened the next day. Actually, yeah, that's best case scenario, because worst case scenario is you wake up. Well, worst case scenario is you don't wake up at all. And another worst case scenario is wake up in a, in a bathtub full of ice, missing a kidney. Unfortunately, we live on a planet where these are very funny jokes, but it's also reality of what happens on this planet is cruel. Actually, the planet is fine. We are cruel towards each other animals, you name it. So, back to my story of of a young man who got into a physical confrontation with a mate, schoolmate, call it that, and then ended up stabbing her with a screwdriver, and she unfortunately passed on, like just right there. Now, the thing is, after that, he came to realize that this is not a joke anymore. He had taken a life. He decided to run in the woods. A couple of days later, he came home, he basically came and then handed himself to the police. You know, when you're speaking broken Afrikaans with a little bit of crack and, and weed or whatever it is that you're taking and holding a knife, it's all very easy until you realize that, the consequences of the actions that you are about to do does not have a rewind button. That's why I just sleep and game a lot. Moving on. So, let's come back to wrap up today's discussion. Now, there's an added security part of it. So the added security is that, if someone grabs your, if you are dealing with a cashless society and someone, a cashless society and someone grabs your wallet, all the money is is behind a lot of passwords and PIN codes. It's kind of tricky to get to it. Cash, on the other hand, all you just have to do is, well, unbutton the wallet and there is it, or unzip it if it's having a zip, and there is the money. Now, the potential cons, and then they also, because we only have 11 minutes left, and I also have to wrap it up. Then they went on the potential cons of a cashless society. Customers without bank accounts are excluded because it's kind of difficult if you don't have a bank account. Excluded, albeit this one has a lot of flexibilities to it because you have thanks to the advanced cashless environment we have built. All you just need is a phone number, and then someone can send you an Easy Blue or whatever wallet that your bank you are using uses. Now, I just looked at it and went like, huh? It turns out, according to them, it costs more than cash. A 100 note can buy something priced at $100. There are no bank charges added. I'm like, hey, so this was happening the whole time I'm swiping. But you have to understand that when you are using a service, it needs money to sustain that service. And obviously a cent or two are going to be taken from you using that service because that's how they have to, they need that money to keep the service, to keep offering you that particular service. So it's not unheard of. When you start talking about the charges going through the roof on the other hand, that's a whole different discussion to have though. Now, another problem is a risk of cyber crimes and the invasion of privacy. We saw this firsthand with Hunters International last year. If something is on a hard drive, if it's on a computer chip, people with the technical know-how, with the skills, the people that build computers, both the physical and the soft part of it, they can get to it and they can swipe it quick clean. They can wipe it squeaky clean, not swipe it quicky clean. That way. Did I just say quickie clean? How long has it been? Jeez. I have to keep all this for Sunday. 11:30 to 1, mind the gap type of, where we are just, going bananas with this. So the risk of cyber crimes and invasion of privacy, the biggest example of this, we have a local homemade example that we saw happening to Telecom Namibia with their run-in with Hunters International last year. And these are growing threats, actually. And now you have companies like Palantir, for example, that literally build softwares that can do things you have never heard of. And they're a business. You can understand that companies like Palantir, they basically build softwares and then sell them to anyone who's willing to buy. In the very same way companies like Lockheed Martin build, weapons, and they're willing to sell it to anyone who's, with a check. Companies like Palantir build basically weapons, except these are electronic ones, the ones that are used in electronic warfare. Back then, I remember when I was in high school, I think it was my computer teacher that introduced us to something called, FlexiSpy, which is, I'm not sure if that, there were no, apps back then. Wait, that's one of those earliest apps being built. Now, what FlexiSpy did was it was supposed to help you, keep tabs on your family, on your relatives, like, you want to, although that one was, even the name was more on husband and wife spying the heck on, out of each other, because it was an app. You can imagine now there are like a gazillion of them out there. It's something that you could actually install on, potential partners, now, why did, come on, guys, seriously, just break up, or divorce. Take a peek. That's a waste of data. Now, Now, after installing it, it would not appear in on the parts of the phone where you find you where you normally find your apps. It will be running in the background, and all the calls and messages that you know that this phone will be receiving, you would be receiving them too. Oh dear, a boy, oh boy. Welcome to the world of technology. But that was then. Now, as you can imagine, right now, there are a lot of those apps. So, the problem with the cashless society is that everything is, this is one of those things that is more like a double-edged sword. The advantages of a cashless society is that you have everything in electronic form, so you don't have to worry about change. You don't have to worry about risking your life walking around with large sums of cash. Well, the disadvantages again of a cashless society is that everything is stored in a digital in digital space where it can be accessed by cyber criminals. So you have advantage and disadvantages coming from the very same area. So and then they went on to look at technology the infrastructure that's needed and but the infrastructure that's needed to run the the digital space where everything is being stored, because this is where information now becomes very important. It takes us back to national sovereignty and national identity. Cash, for example, has has your national symbol and national inscriptions that shows information of national pride, or pictures or people or individuals or animals, everything of national pride. Something that's borderline impossible when you're dealing with with everything in the digital space. So it's somewhat very interesting to look at. So like I pointed out earlier, everything has its pros and cons.
Good evening, good evening.
What's up?
Good, I'm good. What are we discussing?
Transition from a cash, the use of cash as a mode of more like a conducting business,
uh-huh,
to a cashless one, which it seems to me like Namibians, we are embracing. And I'm one of those people that enjoy my swiping and stuff and all that.
If I don't need to, I don't carry cash.
I know, right? Because it has this, convenience check, security check. Because if you grab my wallet, you're just going to be coming there with a bunch of cards.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you have a lot of countries, including Namibia, that are embracing this change. Like, mm-hmm, you have this more like a rapid change from a cash society to a cashless one.
Mm-hmm.
Except, the Swiss now are sort of like going, back in 2023, they started, proposing sort of like having a constitutional guarantee that they will still have cash, mm-hmm, running side by side with the cashless ways of conducting business.
Yeah.
So when I looked at that, I couldn't help but ask myself, why? Like, you have an easy way of doing things. Why would you want to complicate your life with running around with cash? And the first thing they pointed out was that, money in cash and coins carries national identity.
National identity.
Yeah, that's the first thing they pointed out.
Okay. Yeah.
The second thing they pointed out was that you have some degree of freedom when you are dealing with cash,
mm-hmm,
but when you're dealing with when you're dealing with electronic payments, it's very easy for anyone that is anti you to crack down on you.
This is so?
Is
it really?
The NSAS, one of the biggest, I think, protests to ever take place, as far as I know, in the history of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the massive protests that emanated from police brutality.
Yeah.
Now, which again ended with a lot of police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
The central government basically ended up doing something, freezing the bank accounts of a lot of participants, participants into this protest, something that the United Nations criticized them for. They told them that in a democratic society, they were not supposed to do that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's basically what the I think the Swiss are looking at here.
Yeah, but I mean, what the other side of that, okay, if it was just a cash society, that's the government doing like an unlawful act. What would stop them doing that in a cashless society, just coming into your house and taking your money? What's the difference? Is both acts unlawful acts? No.
Okay, for one, they will first have to locate your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you're now this is a pop. I think this protest saw over 1 million people.
Mm.
Now, for you to send people to go and search people's houses, because it will be very hard for you to tell. To tell where each and every single one of them is putting their money. Yeah. So now, one thing that I appreciate though is that the Swiss here are not saying we don't want cash. They are just saying we want both.
Yeah.
Just in case. Like, man, that's an interesting one. Again, you have to understand that this country is a home of the Bank of International Settlements, basically the mother of all central banks.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the people have this perception on on commerce, on modes of exchanges in terms of doing business,
mm-hmm.
I just thought it was fascinating.
No, it is an interesting conversation, and it leads into what I'm about to talk about now coming up.
Okay,
so quite a interlinking conversations. And not on purpose. We're going to talk about FNB Cash Plus.
FNB Cash Plus, so cashless.
Yeah. Cash Plus.
Cash Plus. Okay, Cash Plus. Cash and more. So the time is 6 o'clock on the dot. That brings me to the end of my show for today. That's Home Run comes to an end. And HT takes over from here with FNB and Cash Plus. So for me, until Monday for Home Run, but for Mind the Gap, we're going to meet again at 11 to 1 on Sunday. So see you then when I'm playing comedian and DJ. I know.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Very good Friday evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access, brought to you by none other than our good friends at FNB Namibia. On the show, we discuss all things of financial inclusion, and today we have a great conversation lined up for you. We're going to talk to a business owner and FNB Cash Plus agent, Mr. Simpson Philippus. In just a moment, we'll get in touch with him. He will tell us about his journey as a Cash Plus agent, how being a Cash Plus agent has fostered financial inclusion, and much more. And of course, this program, we like to discuss all things financial inclusion, the importance of financial inclusion, how various parts of our economy are enabling us to be financially included, various tools that allow us to be financially included, like Cash Plus that we're going to talk about today. And of course, this is in the lead up to the Global Policy Forum, hosted by the Alliance for Financial Inclusion with the Bank of Namibia, happening from the 2nd to the 5th of September in our very own Swakopmund. This is where leaders from all over the world will congregate in Namibia to discuss all things financial inclusion, whether that's policies, ideas, technological tools, anything you can think of when it comes to financial inclusion. It will be discussed at this forum. But without wasting any more time, on the other side of this brief intro, we'll be in touch with our guest, Mr. Simpson, to hear about his journey as a business owner. And if you missed our episode, our previous episodes that featured one featured the head of SME banking at FNB Namibia, one featured Cecilia Nekwaya Okafor from the Bank of Namibia, where they chatted to us about financial inclusion, go to the Eagle FM website, type in financially included, and you will have access to all of those previous editions. And as always, you can call into the studio at 0832888401. And we'll be right back on the other side of this. We'll be in touch with our guest for the evening. That is Simpson Philippus. We will be right back.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.